We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joined by Wade Smith. Smitty and Dirty Red coming at you, baby. I know it's
what's good, baby. What's good?
Yeah, everything's good except for the weather, brother. But I ain't going to complain because look here. There's two things that I just cannot stand people to complain about. And in my circles, I got a little cousin. He said, you know what? He said, why is it that old white men complain more about the weather and traffic than anybody he's ever around? Of course, he's a millennial. He's 20-some-odd years old. He ain't got no concerns.
I don't hang around a bunch of old white men, so I wouldn't be able to confirm or deny if that's a true thing.
The best thing is he's talking
not.
About my dad and his grandfather, which is my uncle, so it's even funnier.
That's like the only two old white guys he hangs around.
Yes,
he's like,
y'all two white guys. Oh, it's he's a mess, man. But nonetheless, we got John Heyman, Radio.com Sports MLB Insider. John Heyman, it's with a look at the report that the Astros have hired Dusty Baker as their next manager. John, what's going on, man?
How you doing?
Man, look, I can't complain one bit. What's up? Astros, it looks like they are in the process of finalizing a deal for Dusty Baker. You know, how do you see him fitting as the Houston Astros manager?
You know, I think it makes sense, assuming they complete this, and, you know, a deal's not a deal until it's a done deal with a signed contract, and you never know what can happen. There have been circumstances. Bud Black was offered the deal in Washington, ultimately didn't take it, and there have been a couple other cases where guys didn't take it ultimately, but it does appear that he is the first choice. They have reached out to him. I don't know if they've reached out to anybody else, so I think they're in talks now. That's fair to say. You know, I think that he makes sense. I mean, he's an established manager with an impeccable reputation, which I think is something that they need now. You know, they obviously need to turn the page. You know, it makes sense. I think they've done a great job identifying several excellent candidates, John Gibbons, Buck Showalter, Eduardo Perez. I'm glad they interviewed Joe Espada. We think that will be a good manager someday. You know, I do think they probably need a veteran hand here. And again, somebody with a clean record, you know, it's not a bevy of World Series titles, but he's got a winning record. He's multiple manager of the year, did a great job in Washington, unceremoniously fired for no good reason a couple of years ago. They haven't did win the World Series since then, but he did a great job. So nobody can knock this hiring if indeed it does. It is completed.
John, what type of manager are they going to get out of Dusty Baker? Astro fans, I'm sure, want to hear what they're going to get in Dusty Baker. What type of manager is he? What type of guy is he in the clubhouse?
Yeah, well, he's a great guy, and the players, almost to a man, I don't know of any that really didn't dislike Dusty. I think everybody likes him. Everybody respects him. Very accomplished, 137 wins to 2,000. I'm sure that would be big for him. Every manager has 2,000 wins, except for Bruce Bochy is in the Hall of Fame, and Bochy certainly will be in the Hall of Fame someday. So he'd like to get that 2,000 wins. Certainly would need to be there 2 years to do that, or at least parts of 2 years. But so I think they need to work on the contract, make sure it's a 2-year deal. I don't think he'll come for a 1-year deal. And, you know, they never know. There's always the question about the coaches, too. I think they pretty much said they would like to keep the coaching staff pretty much intact. That might be hard for a veteran manager. He may want to bring at least one of his people in. And if he does, I would not be surprised. They interviewed Will Venable from the Cubs staff. Dusty has a long relationship with the father, Max Venable, who's a major league player with the Giants as well. And I would not be shocked if he was brought in as a coach, assuming they allow him to bring in one coach. But it seems like they'd like to keep the staff mostly intact. But he's a great guy, great sense of humor. Knows the history of the game, obviously has been through the ringer, very well prepared. The one question is, he's not known as an analytics guy. They've been an analytics team, but, you know, he's a winner and he's been through the wars. So you got to think this is a very good deal once it's done.
You mentioned a one-year, a potential two-year deal. Do you see this as a definite short-term solution for the Astros? And if that's the case, do you think that's the best way that they approach it?
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's in his 70s. I don't think he's going to look for more than a two-year deal, but I'm sure that he's not going to do it for a one-year. I'd be shocked if he did. He did do a two-year deal with Washington. They're tough in their managerial negotiations, as we've seen. Maybe Houston will do a bit more than two, but I think Dusty probably only would want to. I think he's around 74 years old at this point, or close to it. So I think that would make sense. He'd be happy with that. And you know what? If he brought Venable in, if he was allowed to bring in Venable, maybe someone would look at him as a potential manager in waiting. He's been a candidate in a couple places already, very highly regarded, Ivy Leaguer, and I can see that as a possibility. They wouldn't call it that, but I would not be surprised if that was the case.
On with us is Radio.com Sports MLB Insider John Heyman. Insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. John, you know, we make a lot. I think the number one priority for the Astros was getting that guy that was long in the tooth, that had dealt with some adversity in his past, and how important that is essentially to be the face of the organization, get off the bus first, take the podium in press conference situations first. And I want you to attack that in two ways, man. One of what do you think the Astros are up against moving forward relative to dealing with adversity? We hear a lot about, boy, the Astros, it's going to be a tough road. But what exactly do you expect that to be? And then two, Dusty Baker, how can he stabilize and disarm the media and the critics if he is the guy getting off the bus first?
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to be better at disarming the media and getting along with the media and Dusty Baker. Everybody likes him, as I said. So from that standpoint, excellent hire. Obviously dealt with the media forever as a player for more than a decade and for more than two decades as a manager. So very experienced guy, makes a lot of sense. They're going to be dealing with a lot of adversity, distraction, whatever you want to call it. You know, I think the Dodger fans are already planning to come to the opener in Anaheim, or Los Angeles of Anaheim, whatever you want to call it, and really get on the Astros. And I think they're going to get that kind of reception everywhere they go. People are upset that other players are upset on the other teams, and they're not going to get good receptions. And I know that Jose Altuve said they're going to watch us be in the World Series. They've got a tough road, even though they got a great team, and part of the reason a lot of these veteran managers are chomping at the bit to take over this job. Not only Dusty, but Buck Showalter, Gibbons were in there. They do have a great team, but, you know, it takes more than talent, and it's not going to be an easy road. I do think that's the case.
We're seeing reports that Peter Woodfork, the current Major League Baseball senior VP of baseball operations, is a candidate for the Astros GM position. What type of impact would he make, I think, for the Houston Astros, and what type of chemistry would there be between him and Dusty Baker potentially?
Yeah, well, I mean, everybody gets along with Dusty. Peter Woodfork, very nice guy. He's been with MLB for a long time after having served, I believe, for the Red Sox and the Diamondbacks. Might be some other teams. You know, he's got a very good reputation, very honest fellow. You know, they need to bring in people with a great reputation with no hickeys on their resumes, and I'm not shocked his name came up. Same with Bobby Evans of the Giants. We'll see who else they interview. But Woodfork makes sense as a guy that has a good reputation and I think would deal well with the analytics side of things. And, I mean, everybody gets along with Dusty. I can't say, you know, hire one guy or another to get along with Dusty. Dusty is a guy that everybody likes and gets along with.
John, do you believe that the Astros players should apologize for this scandal? And if so, what does that look like in your opinion?
I think they should. They've already been found guilty. You know, even though the players have not been punished, we know that it was player-driven. And I do think that whether they benefit or not, the potential was there to benefit. Maybe some of or most of them would have been able to do the same thing as they did. We'll never know that. But, you know, we've seen the evidence. It's not just MLB making the ruling. The evidence was out there publicly with the trash cans. We heard it. So I do think they should apologize. I see nothing wrong with that. I was a little disappointed in the initial reaction. two guys who are very accomplished, very smart guys, very good baseball people, lost their jobs. And they should feel some remorse about that because, you know, you could say that Jay Hinch and Luno were at fault. They knew what was going on and they looked the other way. That was their thing. But it was the players who drove this from what we hear. And, you know, it may have emanated more from Carlos Beltran. He was one of the, he was the player that was named in the report. So you can probably infer from that that he was heavily involved. But the players certainly were all aware of it. And some of them, if not all of them, may have benefited from it. So it's time to apologize. And hopefully they'll do it in spring training.
Well, John, what does that look like, though, John? I mean, we joke about it. I mean, what are we going to do? We're going to parade them across the press conference stage and each one of them say, I'm sorry? Or is that a – I mean, is that a Dusty Baker thing? Or is that a Altuve?
No, that's the players. No, he has nothing to apologize for. And they should be grown men and certainly are grown men. And they should know to be contrite and show remorse for what's been done. As I said, two good people, at least in terms of baseball – and I do believe A.J. Hinch is a fine fellow, and made a mistake here, have lost their jobs and are suspended. It was a brutal result for them. I'm not blaming MLB. I think it was appropriate to come down hard. They said they were going to punish management the next time this happened, and that's exactly what they did. They felt they had to give the players immunity due to the power of the union. I understand that, but these players should feel pretty fortunate that they got away with it to a degree.
No doubt about it. That's Radio.com Sports MLB Insider John Heyman. Insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. John, appreciate you joining us as usual, man.
All right. Great talking to you guys. See you later.
You got it. That's John Heyman. He's been at it for a while. He's pretty adamant about the apology aspect of this thing, Waiter.
That's surprising, man. That's surprising.
Yeah, I was serious. I really wanted to know precisely, like, what do we do? Do you just, when you're asked, each player at their locker in training camp, do they apologize, or is it a orchestrated attempt to apologize? I'm curious to know what because I'm not of the apology group. Yeah. The ones that are, I'm curious to know what the heck that's supposed to look like.
You have to have a spokesperson do it because, like you said, I agree with you. I don't think the apology is necessary, but you have to have one guy do it. You can't have a scenario where you have, you know, 12 different guys going up there to apologize. Some guys weren't involved. Some guys, just because you were there doesn't mean you're involved.
Right.
And just because you're the one that speaks up doesn't mean you're involved either. So they need to figure out one guy to go out there, and if that's something that the ownership says that you're going to have to do, you get one guy up there, do the apology, and then keep it pushing. But I just don't think it's necessary.
Wade, we got Grant Paulson of 106.7 The Fan in D.C. He covered Dusty Baker when he was the manager for the Nationals, obviously, in D.C. There's something that drives him nuts about Dusty Baker.
Oh, really?
But we're gonna get him on at 4:35, so we'll talk about that. But before that, Cal McNair, the owner of the Houston Texans, he's got an official statement out. Bill O'Brien is officially the GM of the Texans, along with a couple of other things. We'll discuss that next right here on Sports Radio 610. Joined by Wade Smith, 12-year NFL vet, former Houston Texans offensive lineman. It's official, guys. Bill O'Brien is officially the general manager for the Houston Texans. Also today, Jack Easterby will be promoted to executive vice president of football operations. Breaking news. It is official, ladies and gentlemen. Cal McNair, owner of your Houston Texans. Cal McNair, he has officially released a statement. Wade, there's a couple of things in there we need to discuss, my man.
I think it's worth our while to discuss this. I'm sure the people of Houston would like to hear what we have to say about this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is Cal McNair, and I quote, "I thought it was important to update titles, roles, and responsibilities for Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby so they more accurately reflect the way that we've been operating for the past 8 months." That's one of those deals for me, Wade, where when you look at it, I think really, I mean, it's official.
Yeah.
But that part of the statement there, I think we all understand that Bill O'Brien's been, nobody's beat the drum louder than the general John McClain, that Bill O'Brien's making all the decisions.
Yeah, we talk about the actual execution and what it means for the organization going forward. It doesn't really change anything, but when you talk about the idea that now you're being transparent and letting the people know this is how things are operating over there, you can appreciate that because there was a lot of gray area. There was a lot of trying to figure out, well, who's doing what? People are saying it's this way, but it's not officially that title. So I can appreciate the fact that they're letting it be known this is what it is over here at NRG. Bill O'Brien is the general manager.
And here's where it gets a little hairy for me. This is Cal McNair, owner of the Houston Texans. Statement after officially naming Bill O'Brien the general manager of the Houston Texans. I was encouraged by the progress that our team made on the field this year, which was due in part to our new structure, operating approach, and the leaders within our football operations group. When I read that, I immediately think, obviously, in terms of the GM, and I couldn't agree more with Cal McNair here, Wade. When you look at it, you go, the moves that were made that allowed this football team to put a better product on the field from a personnel standpoint, there's no arguing that the right moves were made at the right time, in crunch time, and then they were able to use those guys effectively throughout the season. Now, I know you and I both have questions about the use of Duke Johnson in the Kansas City game and the use of Duke Johnson throughout the season, maybe in certain roles or lack thereof. But generally speaking, from the GM's perspective, from the GM Bill O'Brien, the moves that were made to allow this team to take the next step, I could see where Cal McNair would be encouraged by what he saw.
Yeah, when you talk about acquiring talent, upgrading your roster from the personnel standpoint, those things markedly improved over the past, I guess, 9 months or whatever, how long that period has been, 8-9 months. When you look at the fact that they made deals, the type of the trade for the way that they acquired Hargraves, the way they acquired Connolly, those things were not really done in the past. So I enjoyed that part of it. I thought those were productive ways to bring guys on the roster and improve the roster overall. So right. I agree with that as well. I think the thing that you are discouraged by is the actual execution of using some of these guys that were brought in. But just looking at it from purely the standpoint of bringing talent on the roster, and is the roster better today than it was 9 months ago? It's a huge improvement of what they had to what they have now. And then also the idea of doing contracts during the season. That was something that was not allowed. It was taboo. It was something that really wasn't done with the Texans organization in years past. I do think it's a good idea to utilize any time of the year to get a deal done for a guy if you think that it's necessary and it warrants it, and it also will save you money in the long run. So those aspects, I agree. Those were good signs from the GM position.
Again, we're discussing Cal McNair's statement on the official title being given to GM title being given to offensive coordinator head coach Bill O'Brien.
You're gonna start him off with offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I got to get that chance. I got to speak that into existence. Here's where it's interesting. I am proud. I quote. This is Cal McNair's statement. I am proud that we provided our fans with many thrilling victories at home, including a playoff win, and we delivered another double-digit win season. Our fans deserve that, but now it is time for the organization to get back to work toward our pursuit of a world champion for the championship for the city of Houston.
That's a very interesting way of putting that. I would love to hear from the perspective of Texans fans. Text line 713-572-4610. You can call in. I'm sure we're going to take some calls on this, but 713-572-4610. But the idea that he's excited about the fact that they had thrilling victories at home and they got the 10 wins again and you won another division title. Are fans really excited about that? Because The feedback that I get is people have been there and done that. We want to see the team progress. And from Kyle McNair's perspective, he said, well, we did progress. Last year, we lost in the first round in a terrible home loss. This year, we made it to the second round, and we lost in a terrible home loss. But we did, I mean, a road loss. But we did progress. So I would love to get input from fans, because I think it's necessary for everyone involved to understand where people stand. And are they really – are fans really excited about what the Texans did last year? Are they excited about where the where the Texans are going in the future?
Yeah, you know, Wade, I look at it as we discussed this yesterday about essentially Deshaun Watson had alluded to 2019 season as a good season.
It was a success.
A success. You're correct.
That's what he said.
You know, and from Deshaun Watson's perspective, I couldn't agree more. I could totally 100% agree. From Cal McNair's perspective, you went one round deeper in the playoffs than you had before. Mm-hmm. I believe every game's a sellout. I know my girl had some season tickets and she sold them, and I was mad because she didn't sell them for enough. you got, from a money making perspective, you got to believe that ownership is okay with the year. It was a success. You got to think from a GM perspective, and I know we're getting a lot of feedback here about the we talk about how good the GM did, and we get a lot of feedback about the Clowney job he gave him. Well, agreed. But from a GM perspective, you got to look at the season as a whole and all the moves that were made, and go, we put ourselves in position to win double digits and win another division and get to the second round of the playoffs. The problem for me, Wade, lies with that's not, how you got there is not enough. The national narrative for this football team is still that the offensive coordinator is holding the quarterback, who is your future, is holding that guy back.
Yeah.
And so when you're talking about the ownership, absolutely. I see where it could be positive. The quarterback, yep, positive. GM, yep, we can put a positive spin on that thing. Head coach, I would put a positive spin on that too. But when it comes to the national narrative, which in my opinion, when something becomes a national narrative, it ain't me and you sitting here watching 5 hours of film and trying to figure out what's wrong with this team, right?
Yeah.
It's blatantly obvious. That's the problem with this football team, Wade. And so depending on what perspective you read that particular statement that Cal McNair issued, depending on what perspective you read that from, is going to depend on whether you feel like it's accurate or not.
I'll tell you what, man, I think it depends on what type of timeline you have for this team and for the organization. If you feel like this team has been on the cusp for the past 3 or 4 years and they've had enough talent to make it to a Super Bowl, then this season was not a success. But I would contend, if you look at the roster the past 2 years, not this season's roster, but the 2 years previous to that, they went 11-5 and 9-7 in those years, whatever it was, and won a division title 1 year and didn't the other. But those teams, or actually I think they went 4-12, that was in 2017. Those teams were not good enough to compete at the highest level. The problem I have with this season is, talent-wise, they did have enough to compete at the highest of level. And so, to me, it's not a success from that standpoint. You had the talent on your roster to get farther than what you actually did. And so, from that perspective, I don't think it was a success. Now, if I'm looking at it from the perspective of the owner, for sure it's a success. You made money. You sold out every game. You progressed as far as going forward from 1 year to the next, and your timeline is different than everyone else's is. I'm pretty sure the timeline for the McNairs reset once Brian Gannon got let go, and then they tried a new thing out the way they were running things over there. And so I think that has a lot to do to it. Do with it. If you're a Texans fan and you've been there from 2002, you're not most likely excited about what happened this past season. You feel like the time has come for you to progress and get to that next level. And the next level isn't the second round. The next level is the AFC Championship or Super Bowl.
Can you help me with this real quick? The national narrative is Watson is not as good as y'all think he is. Has nothing to do with the coordinator. The national media knows it's on Watson, not O'Brien.
Yeah, you can't read that guy's text. It's the same guy. He is not a fan of Deshaun Watson at all.
Well,
he thinks he's overrated.
You don't have to be a fan, but I mean, how many – the national – you think I made that up? National narrative. Like, I mean, Dan Orlovsky, who I believe is the best in the business, came on this station, this show, and said it. Like, what else do you need?
But that's my whole point. Anybody that says Deshaun Watson is a good quarterback or is a franchise quarterback, this guy's going to disagree with. So if you read his – tweet his text, that's what you're going to get 10 out of 10 times.
Kick rocks. Let me see the back of your head get smaller. That's all I got to say for you, baby. Next up, Grant Paulson of 106.7 The Fan in D.C. covered Dusty Baker as the manager of the Nationals. There's one thing that drove him nuts about Dusty Baker. We'll talk about that next right here on Sports Radio 610. Joined by Wade Smith. Smitty, what's good, baby?
And
turn that thing on over here, Chief.
I'm looking at this text line. People got upset, man.
They're fired up.
Hey, look here. Talk about Bill O'Brien and the new GM of the Houston Texans.
Golly, man. Dusty Baker down here getting a job. Bill O'Brien's getting promoted, getting official titles, and the city's going crazy on us. We got Grant Paulson of Grant and Danny at what in the world? And the phone lines are dropping. Come on, B-Mac. It must be that bad weather out there, baby. That bad weather. I tell you what it probably is.
What's that?
That damn text line got it. There's smoke coming out of these.
It overtook.
I was wondering what that smoke was coming out from underneath this computer. That damn text line got things rocking and rolling. But Grant Paulson is going to join us here in the next couple of minutes. He covered Dusty Baker in D.C. With his time with the Nationals. And he's got look, there's just something out there that drives my man crazy about what looks to be the next Houston Astros manager, Dusty Baker. As of right now, it looks like they're in the process of finalizing a deal with long-term Major League Baseball manager, Dusty Baker. Now we're joined by Grant Paulson. Grant and Danny at 106, I'm sorry, Grant on 106.7 The Fan in D.C. Grant, what's going on, man?
I'm doing great.
Man, good to have you. Appreciate you taking a couple of minutes out of your day right here. Again, I think you're fully aware of the fact that I believe the Astros are in the process of finalizing a deal for Dusty Baker. I got wind, man, that there's one thing out there that drives you crazy about Dusty Baker, and I had to get you on and let you tell Houston about it.
I appreciate you. Yeah, I mean, Dusty Baker is a good baseball manager. I don't think anybody would refute that. He's one of the most winningest managers of his era, and he's got borderline Hall of Fame credentials, and he's had a lot of success with a bunch of organizations and taken a lot of teams to the postseason. There's two things I think that make you a really good manager, right? One of those is your ability to be a people person and to manicure relationships and to run a clubhouse, and I don't know that there's anybody in baseball better than that than Dusty Baker. The other part of managing is in-game, 3 hours a night from 7:05 to 10:05 local, making in-game decisions tactically and proficiently and kind of guiding your team through 9 innings of baseball. And I think that's where he leaves plenty to be desired. You know, for me, his inability throughout the years to embrace analytics was always pretty stunning here in Washington. The Nationals, as you guys may know, have transitioned, even though they're more of a scouting organization, closer and closer toward, you know, analytically being driven. Mike Rizzo's an old time scout, but he's got a lot of smart young people who crunch numbers around him. And he watches games. I've watched games in his suite with him. And he's got people sitting next to him like Bob Boone, who's been around the game for decades as a scout. And he's got a couple guys sitting on laptops who are in their mid-30s behind him to tell him, you know, what catch percentage every fly ball is after it's fallen safely into the outfield. And I think a lot of times Dusty Baker took some of the analytics given to him, and he didn't end up using a whole lot of them. So that frustrated some people at times with the Nationals, I know. It's one of the reasons when they hired their next manager and they went with Davey Martinez, they went with a guy from an organization under Joe Maddon in Chicago that was more analytically driven. And I just think that the hire, while I get why they would do it, is curious for that reason. You know, the Astros are on the cutting edge in so many capacities, including being data-driven, to hire a guy who for a long time has been considered somewhat slow to come around on those things is an interesting and maybe even an awkward juxtaposition.
I tell you what, man, Dusty Baker, he doesn't strike me as a guy that is going to be overtaking the way the Astros have done things over the past, you know, 4 or 5 years and talking about their analytics. Do you feel like he's that stubborn of a guy that he would just be like, I'm stuck in my old ways and so I want to do it my way? Because I would find it hard to believe that the Astros would even bring him in if that's the case.
Well, I agree with you, first of all. So I'd say this. I'm sure that in the interview with the Nationals, they said, look, you know, it's at the time it was 2016 or whatever it was, and you can't manage in baseball without using the data and some type of analytically minded way of going about your business. So I'm sure that they had that conversation. And he said whatever he had to say. And I think if you were to compare him at the end of his two-year run with Washington, which was very successful, by the way, two division championships in the NL East, two playoff appearances, you know, 95-win campaigns got him to the playoffs. I think he probably is more analytically sound and more analytically driven than he was 25, 30 years ago, like anybody would be. The question is, does he allow the information that he's given to run games? You know, is he going to allow it to the extent that A.J. Hinch would, or some of the other guys in baseball, like Kevin Cash in Tampa Bay, to overtake a lot of their decisions? And there's nothing to believe.
He was on a great point.
He was killing it, wasn't he?
that's Grant Paulson, Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan in D.C. Look, I mean, he brings up the point, and I purposely didn't mention the analytics aspect of this thing because I wanted to really get Grant's take on this. I mean, you're talking about a guy that covered Dusty Baker inside and out in his 2 years in D.C. So nobody better to give us that little nugget right there. Wade, I'm with you, though, man. I just don't see – I think the number one box that needed to be checked if and when Dusty Baker was going to be named the manager for this organization was just that. I mean, you're talking about we had Jim Crane literally where you're sitting right now at a desk in at the Houston Sports Award. Jim Crane sat down with us and alluded to how important that guy fitting in was going to be. For me, man, it's crazy to think that he's not going to adjust accordingly. Grant, do you remember where you were, my brother? Can you pick back up where you were? Do we need to restart this thing?
No, absolutely. So here's what I would say, though. I would have to imagine that he would – if I'm the Astros, I'm not hiring him if he's not willing to play ball with me analytically, okay? But the couple of questions I would ask are this, kind of rhetorically. Are they going to be as advanced and on the cutting edge as they always have been? I mean, they've blown a lot of the guys out to change the game, and they're not there anymore. You look at Sigmytos in Baltimore under Mike Elias, who's now running the Orioles. Obviously, Jeff Luhnow, I don't need to tell your audience where he is and what happened, but – a lot of the guys who came and got rid of a lot of the scouts and went with all the number-driven data, they're not there anymore. So are they going to continue down that path? I mean, they could have an entirely new front office that is run from the top down in the next couple of years very differently. I think that's one fair question. My other question would be this. Yes, I'm sure that he will try to play ball. But at some point, you know, you go back to muscle memory, right? I mean, I just think it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. Dusty Baker knows more about baseball than I do, than you do, than anybody listening does. He's been in this game for decades. I think he and Joe Torre are the only guys in the history of the sport with 1,800 hits and 1,800 wins as a manager. He's done it as a player. He's got some of the greatest stories. He's played with some of the greatest players ever. I just think to have some, you know, mid-30s guy who went to Ivy League school, who knows baseball too and studied it in his own way, telling him how to do something, you know, a lot of guys who have been around the game their whole lives don't always play that game. So do I think he'll adapt to some extent? Yes. So I think in the seventh inning of a ball game, when the numbers say one thing and he thinks another, he's going to rely on his gut more often than he isn't. I do. I mean, I just think that's who he is. That's who he was here in Washington, D.C.
That's Grant Paulson of Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan in D.C. covered Dusty Baker for 2 years as the manager of the Washington Nationals. Hey, how much, I guess, credit do you give Dusty Baker for the success that the Nationals are currently having? And look, I understand that it's been a couple of years, but you got to believe that he left his handprint on that organization when he left.
Yeah, I think they I do think that they benefited from his time here. When he came to Washington, they were coming off of a disastrous season under Matt Williams, who was fired. And at the end of that season, Bryce Harper was essentially choked in the dugout by Jonathan Papelbon, and Jason Wirth, who was their leader at the time, was ripping lineups off the wall and screaming at the manager about, you know, how bad he was at his job. So that having been said, they needed a people person, to kind of change the culture a little bit and to clean up the clubhouse. Sounds familiar, right? I mean, the Astros need a mensch. They need a good human being who's going to come in there and build relationships and show guys how to do things the right way. And I think Dusty Baker is a really good hire in that regard. How much did he have to do with them winning the World Series this year? I would say very little. You know, Davey Martinez did a heck of a job as their manager. They're run by Mike Rizzo, their president of baseball operations, who, along with the ownership group, the Lerners, have a pretty strong relationship in terms of player acquisition. You know, the Nationals were really good before Dusty Baker got here. People forget that Matt Williams, the year before he was blown out in year two, was the manager of the year, and they won 96 games in the NL. Baker lost both of the division series he managed in with Washington. And then left. They missed the playoffs in the first year without him with Martinez and then won the.
Boy, I tell you, old Grant, we got to get you a new phone deal, man.
DC phone lines is tripping out
there. That old bootleg phone you got, man, we got to get you a new one.
You said
Grant, you there?
Is it not working for me?
Hey, man, that damn bootleg, what kind of phone you using, man? Come on.
This is the good people of Verizon taking good care of your guy, huh?
Can you hear me now?
Good. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we got you, baby. We got you.
So I guess long story short would be this. You know, Matt Williams had success. Davey Johnson had success. Dave Martinez has won a World Series. This is a good baseball team. They got great starting pitching and a really quality defensive group and a really high-end lineup. I think they were going to win the World Series with one of these guys one way or the other. But here's what I will say for Dusty, because I think people assume in this town, like, I don't like him. I'll say again, he's a really good manager. I think it's hard to win if he's your manager in the playoffs because every little decision matters so much. Every little minute matchup, all the numbers being crunched and going to the right decisions. And I could go through a litany of them from the playoffs in his 2 years here that when they were made were bad processes that led to them and then got bad results. There's a reason why his playoff track record is horrific. And I just think it's because in game, he's just not a very strong manager. Now, for 21 hours a day, I think he might be the best manager in baseball. You know, other than from 7 to 10, when that game is being played, there might not be another guy in the sport who's better at his job than Dusty Baker.
What do you think, Grant? What about the fit in Houston for, with all things considered? Hell, you do this sports talk thing for a living. You're aware of what the Astros have gone through and what they're up against. And you're aware of the fact that they need a guy to get off the bus first and be the face and the mouthpiece for this organization, essentially, to get through this adversity. How do you think Dusty Baker fits with the Astros relative to some of the other candidates that were out there?
Well, I think Baker is the perfect hire for a couple of reasons. Number one, I believe that they've gotten nothing but bad press. You guys would probably agree with me for the better part of the last couple months. That'll end the moment he's hired. There's not a national writer or a columnist or a media person who matters in baseball who doesn't like Dusty Baker. If you've ever spent 5 minutes with the guy, you love him. He's got, as I said, some of the best stories and anecdotes. He's got one of the best resumes of anybody in the sport. And there's not a columnist in the country who covers this game who wouldn't advocate for him to get another job. He is Mr. Popularity. I mean, he could run for president if there was one in baseball or commissioner, and he would win that popular vote. So I think immediately if I'm the Astros, when I saw his name, I said, hire that guy. Because right now they're getting killed and pummeled by everyone who's writing anything. And the second that they hire him, the narrative will change and people will be giddy that he's back in the sport. So that's number one, I think, strategically more so than anything else. The other thing, though, is, and this maybe matters as much or more, in the clubhouse, I really do believe Dusty Baker, because he's a human being, because he's a good guy, because he has relationships with all the players, he can clean up culturally whatever is sour and tarnished and really turn them back into a team that people can get behind and want to cheer for from an ethical baseball being played the right way standpoint. It's very, very different than what he inherited here in Washington. But as I said, the first thing he did, the most important thing he did, was really change from the top down.
All right, damn it. Three times you out, three strikes and you out, baby. I tell you what, that was Grant Paulson. He does a great job. Obviously, he's covered Dusty Baker for a while. Makes some really, really, really good points. Other than the one about Eli Manning, he makes some really.
I tell you what, he has some excellent insight and a terrible phone line, bro. He got to get that.
Get that thing. Get on a landline for me. I ain't said that in about 10 years. Get on a landline for me and let's talk about it. Wade, I think, with that said, you know, this ain't even official yet. You know, to be completely honest, it's not even official yet. I hope all the ink dries. I hope everything works out. We had there was an old running back that out of Miami. You remember Alex Collins? He was a running back for Seattle and Baltimore of late. And got a little bit of trouble.
He was out
of the league this last year. Who I think would be a great if he's cleaned himself up. He's a great kid. If he's cleaned himself up a little bit, it'd be a great pickup for the Houston Texans because he's a starting caliber running back in this league. Three down back. But nonetheless, we'll get into that later. He tried to sign with the University of Arkansas in his high school in Miami. And his mother ran up literally during the ceremony. People everywhere knew. It was all on the video was out there.
Yeah.
She snatches the paper and runs out of the building. She didn't want her baby leaving Miami, bro.
It worked?
No, he ended up at Arkansas.
He did?
Yeah, no, he ended up at Arkansas and did a great job. But I hope Dusty Baker's wife or agent doesn't pull Alex Collins' mama and grabs the paperwork and runs off with it. Because I know, it doesn't matter who they hire that or would have hired. There would have been people on this text line. There would have been callers. There would have been people in this fan base calling, going, well, what about this part of it? What about that part of it? What about this? What about this that he did 2 or 3 years ago? And I mean, you're talking about a guy that the last 4 years in the league, in Major League Baseball as a manager, he averaged 95 victories, right? I mean, all this guy's not done in the game of baseball over a 22-year career is win a World Series, okay? The scary part of this whole thing, Wade, is I looked at you three times when Grant Paulson of Grant and Danny at 106.7 The Fan in D.C., he was just on. As he was talking, I looked at you three times and said, is he talking about Dusty Baker or is he talking about Bill O'Brien?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure what – it's another drive-by on Bill O'Brien. But I wasn't real sure what the hell he was talking about. Yeah. Look, he said when it's cutting time, essentially – you know, the point he was making was Dusty Baker can come in here and he's never been an analytical guy, but he can listen to the organization and let the season play out. But when it comes to the moment that you got to make a decision, you're always going to go with your gut. You're always going to go back to the cloth that you're cut from, your DNA. And what Grant was saying, that possibly could steer Dusty away from the analytics, and that's exactly what I'm afraid of with Bill O'Brien and Deshaun Watson. I've said it from the jump. When he's the OC, it'll be smooth sailing.
Yeah.
But when it comes time to put a good quarter together, or a good game together, or a good play call together, it's always going to go back to what Bill O'Brien does best and not what Deshaun Watson does best. Nonetheless, Grant Paulson, appreciate you coming on.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.